Jaguars Monday is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, that's a wrap for our program, but it's time to talk a little Jags. Jaguars Monday starts with J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Everybody stay safe over the weekend, fellas?
Oh, we're safe. We are safe. You know? How are you? Yeah.
Frank, you have a cold?
No, I don't think so. Oh. I don't think so. Maybe I think I'm okay. But where were you, Tony? On the north side? Where'd
north
you go?
North side, yeah. I went up to my mom's house.
Mm. Oh, all right. So, but everything was okay, you guys? How was your house when you got back? Good? Bad? Awful? What?
It was perfect. Nothing wrong. Even the power was on when I got back.
That must be nice.
It was.
That must be real nice.
Very fortunate.
I wonder what that's like.
It was interesting. Saturday morning, I got up because I had heard rumors. I was, you know, like an anxious person that I am. I had to get back as soon as the storm was.
Right.
And I started calling people in the city that I know. I'm trying to get across Friday night, and they're like, "Listen, you're not coming across the bridge Friday night." And I said, "All right. Well, when's this?" They said, "Well, check in the morning." And I'd heard a rumor that the 210 bridge in St. Johns County might be open at 8 a.m.
Right.
So I got my rear end out of bed about 5, showered up, was there at 6 a.m., Frank.
Yep.
I got across at 11:45. I was the first person to cross into Ponte Vedra, though. I am proud to say.
And you had a little wait in between then. Okay, you were ready to go across that.
I was the first word. But I get the fine officers at the St. John's County Sheriff's Department were very enjoyable to talk to. And right. I'll tell you what, I sat there, drank coffee, and hung out with them for 5.5 hours.
And got to know your life story?
Well, right? The questions they got asked and the excuses they heard of people trying to finagle their way across the bridge early was amazing.
And that was just from Tony Baselli.
I can't imagine.
I'm like, you guys have the patience of Job. I would have arrested somebody just because I could.
Just out of principle,
just
right?
Just out of principle, just for dumb reasons to cross.
JP, you were without power for a while. I think I saw you tweet, right?
As of this morning, I still was. So,
oh, still?
Yeah, and looking at the website right now, I might still be until midnight tonight. So that's okay. You know, a lot of people have it a lot worse. I had a couple branches down, some leaks in the roof here or there, and they're going to come look at that this week. Yeah. And the whole street stayed. Nobody left. So we were not in an evacuation zone, and St. Nicholas, at least our street, was spared some of the bad stuff.
How about that tree that fell in your neck? I was watching that video you sent. Holy cow.
Wasn't that my buddy Bobby? I mean, he said he already had one tree already fall on his house and two other fall next to his house. And then when that started to go, he said, "Well, might as well go take a picture of it." I mean, they went out into the road, and I think one of the neighbors got the iPad running, and there you go.
There you have it.
It was awful. So, all right, Aaron Colvin comes back, Tony. That's got to be a big boost for this team, right?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, he's your starting nickel. Anytime you get a starter back, I think it's a good thing. I think it creates some interesting decisions and conversations around what they do in the backfield. As far as their number one nickel and who are the three guys going to be out there at the corner. And I think it's going to be Colvin, Ramsey, and Amakamura.
Right.
I think those are the three guys.
That's conventional thinking, at least, with Devon struggling a little bit. I think that's kind of what people expect.
And as far as I know, and I probably should ask this question before we got on air, there have been no moves roster-wise, or has there been?
Yeah, Dwayne Grotz was waived.
I've been running around trying to get things settled after this hurricane.
Oh, yes.
I have been. That's why I was asking unprofessionally on the air.
Grotz was cut today. But I think it was the move most people anticipated.
Yeah, right. I thought it would be done earlier. So
there you go. Yeah. All right, JP, what you got today?
We'll talk a little offense, see what the Jags have to do offensively moving forward now. How can they build on what they did last week against the Indianapolis Colts with Colvin back? How does that work on the back end? And sounds like Miles Jack's going to play a little more auto. Yeah. So then we'll take some calls tonight as well and look around the league.
And one more thing, Frank, before you send it off. And I know you're trying to get home.
No problem.
Can you please put to bed this whole Florida LSU thing? I'm so tired of hearing
about
it.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. I think.
How is Florida getting a hard time for not playing that game after what potentially could have been a major disaster, and still was a bad storm? And I mean, how are they getting criticized for that?
You know, I agree with you, and I think part of it emanates from the fact that last year, Tony, South Carolina moved a game to Baton Rouge when they couldn't play, but that was a totally different situation. It was widespread flooding, and they knew a week and a half out they couldn't play. So they had plenty of time to move that. It was very different than this, which was kind of a spur. I agree with you. I think, you know, like McElwain said today, 19 deaths, 2.5 million people without power and their lives upside down, $6 billion in damage.
And we're worried about a football game. Come on.
And we're worried about a football game. I completely agree with you. So, all right, the show is Jags Monday, and it starts right now.
Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, GEICO, and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Yes, it does. From the HananiahAutos.com studio at EverBank Field, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli in Jacksonville. We'll go down to Fort Lauderdale shortly. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer, will join us.
He's running scared right now.
Running scared.
He wants none of me tonight.
I mean, you know, it was a bye week, right? There's not really much to complain about tonight.
No, just overall.
I'm sure you'll find something.
League-wide issues we're going to discuss tonight.
Like?
I have no idea.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get. I mean, a lot of good stuff. It was a weekend off that I did not plan on having off.
Yeah,
it was different.
Much different than a normal bye week.
It was.
Yeah,
a little bit of work and everything else, but got to watch some of the football games. Got to enjoy the Red Zone channel
which
yesterday,
is really awesome. By the way,
the Red Zone channel.
I mean, it's always on, but I never get to hear it in here.
They do an outstanding job.
Really cool.
And then watch that San Diego, fourth quarter of that San Diego Chargers Raiders game. Which,
how did they lose again?
I didn't check the waiver wire, but that punter had to be cut.
Ugh.
Had to be cut. So that was fun, though. It was fun watching those games, and it ended depressingly last night, which I'm not going to get into too much, but the debate made me...
Oh, well, yeah, let's not go there.
I'm not going. I'm just,
this is a...
it just depresses
Jaguars
me. Monday. I know, it just depresses me and went to watch the... But the good news is...
I thought you were going to say you went to the bar last
no,
night.
No. The
something.
Good news was the Giants-Packers game was on.
Ah, yes.
That was a fun football game to watch, so a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Let's not go debate tonight.
Oh, I'm not. I refuse to.
Okay.
I was just saying it was depressing.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. Well, obviously, because I didn't have... power.
Yeah, you have no power.
That's okay.
What would you have watched, though, if both
– Oh, football all day. Or baseball. I was watching baseball when it went out Friday night.
I felt like I had a civic duty at least to start there. I mean, it's a big deal. We're going to vote for a president here in 30 days. So I thought I had a civic duty to watch a little bit, and, boy, it was a bad decision. Should have gone right to football.
Well, now you know.
I know. That's I know not to get. Watch ever again.
That's what you
or
get.
Or at least this cycle.
That's what you get. So we'll go around the league coming up a little bit later. Pete Prisco is – we're out to Pete Prisco. We'll get to him coming up. So bye week, early, week 5, now going into week 6. That means no rest for the weary the rest of the way. And the next quarter of the season, well, there's 3 road games in there in this next 4-game stretch. That's a tough little stretch coming up.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the future. If they want to play in London early. The Colts this past weekend did not have a bye. They played and they won.
Played pretty good.
And they played fine. Does Gus and Dave and Mr. Kahn, you know, do they decide, like, listen, if we're going to play this early game, let's not have the early bye week every year? You know, is it a disadvantage? I mean, some teams had the bye week last week. I mean, the Eagles had a bye week last week. There's a handful of teams that had week 4, so yeah. Even earlier. So that can happen whether you play in London or not. I always like to, you know, in a perfect world, you have a bye week about week 7 or 8. Now, with some of the injuries they've had, you know, leading into it, some would argue, hey, it worked out okay and
absolutely.
Everything is, you know, going to work out just fine moving forward. But it is a long stretch, 12 straight games, 3 of the next 4 on the road. As a player, I don't know if it wouldn't have affected me back when I was playing because I didn't like the bye week. Because the bye week is not what it is now, where it's basically almost a week off. The bye week was 3 or 4 hard practices.
Really?
You got like 2 days off, and then you came back, and it was an extra long week the following week.
I guess I'm not really I shouldn't be shocked by that.
So it wasn't like, oh, it was nice to have the weekend off, I guess. But it wasn't like you were going traveling. I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere. I'd just sit in the house and do nothing.
Well, guys nowadays are out of here like Tuesday night, Wednesday, right?
Tuesday, Wednesday, I think they got.
They're gone.
So good for them. I'm happy for them. But when you're a player, you kind of get in your rhythm, and I liked getting in a rhythm. And I said, let's just keep going. Let's keep this thing. Let's keep this train going. And now, if you're not playing well or it's going sideways, maybe the break is good. But they came off a win. You hope they can pick it up. But now you got this tough stretch. And I think you talk about three games on the road of the next four. I think it's a very critical stretch for this team that really determines what they're going to be able to do in November and December. From a standpoint of the division, you look at the division. Houston lost yesterday. They got two losses. The Colts and the Titans both win. One, they have two wins, three losses. And so right now, where you sit, you very well could end up looking at if you find a way to win against Chicago, who I think this team is better than, and they should win. You'll have the same amount of losses as everyone else in the division, most likely, because Houston, I think, is they got some issues up there.
The quarterback didn't play well at all.
He hasn't played well all year, I don't think. And I'm not sure who they play next week. We can look at that in a second. But, you could find yourself very easily right where you need to be in the division and everything's sitting right in front of you and you take care of business, everything will be fine. So, but, you got Chicago. You got Tennessee in this four-game stretch on a Thursday night.
Up there, on the
up
road.
Up there.
Yep.
Haven't had a Thursday night on the road for a while around here.
Not since I've been around, no.
There's, some challenges are presented, and that's a Tennessee team that's playing pretty good football right now, especially if Mariota plays the way he did. So, long story short, next four games are critical. And, I was talking to a friend of mine about this today. It's so interesting to me. 2 weeks ago or so, we sat here and talked about how this is a must win, that this game against the Indianapolis Colts is a must win. And how the NFL works, you get to enjoy it for about 5 minutes, because when it's over, especially when you lose the first three, guess what? The next one is a must win, because if you don't win this one, the Indy win means nothing anymore. And so you find yourselves, and that's the good
you're
and bad
make me
of
puke.
It.
What? You're going to make me puke. Here I am. I've been waiting to get in here. We've had all kinds of connection problems, and I get in and you're talking like a coach already. Game, one game at a time, then must win. Forget about the last one.
No, I'm talking from a player's perspective that in the
end. And a coach's perspective.
No, in a player's perspective, the way this league works, Pete, especially when you start, what you did, especially after a bye week or even if you win the day before, it doesn't matter. It literally does not mean anything.
It means something because they would have been in big trouble if they didn't win.
It means something, obviously, in the big picture schedule, record-wise. But as far as you as a player and what you need to do and to achieve your goals and where you want to go, that doesn't mean anything now. All it is about Chicago, and we have to find a beat Chicago, and we've put ourselves in that hole where I think it creates some must-win situations, or maybe must-win's not the right terminology, but a lot of pressure to win because we put ourselves in a three-game hole. And so you look up, you say, that was great what we did in London with Indy. We got to beat the Bears now. Otherwise, that doesn't mean much. You disagree with that, Pete?
No, still you got always got to look forward. But I crack up because I.
So you think it means so if they do not beat, if they somehow don't beat Chicago, you're telling. I mean, the Indy means nothing.
Well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things. Because this team put itself in a hole to begin with, Tony. So, yes, I get it.
JP, is that not what I just said?
Everything you were talking about.
And then he comes on the air, the first thing he says is, I'm an idiot.
Well, he's right.
No, it's just you're typically talking in Tony speak, which is one game at a time, one play at a time.
Speak.
We can't look at the draft. You can never look ahead.
No, we're not looking
at the draft, Pete. We're not doing it. No,
look at JP's yelling. Now JP's yelling.
Enough of that. It's week five, week six.
No, Tony, I get what you're saying. You're right. I mean, you are actually right. It's just you put it in Tony speak, but you are right. You got to put that behind because they dug themselves a big hole.
That's right.
I mean, they're in the hole, and every game is, like you said, is almost must win now for them. Even as bad as the division is, the division stinks.
It's not very good.
By the way, the Texans host the Colts next week. This coming week, Texans host the Colts Sunday night
and
football.
And Tennessee's going to. And Tennessee's staring 3-3 in the face, by the way, because they're going to beat Cleveland at home this week.
That's true.
Yeah, if Mariota plays the way he did this past weekend, they're pretty good.
Well, so, all of a sudden the division, it stinks, but it's competitive. I mean,
You say the division stinks, Pete.
And it's terrible.
Can I finish my comment and question?
No.
Okay, you say they stink, but tell me the good division in this league. Tell me this. Tell me the division that's just stacked.
Well, but no division is stacked, but there's divisions that have really good teams in them and then a bunch of bad teams.
Okay.
This division doesn't have a good team in it.
Let's go through these really good teams.
I'll take the NFC East.
The East?
Right.
Okay, you have Philly and Dallas. And I understand they're both – one's 4-1, one's 3-1. But they're playing rookie –
You don't believe it.
They're playing rookie quarterbacks, and I mean,
for the long term, maybe not.
Peter, you a believer long term?
No, I tend to agree with you.
I've actually heard people talk about saying they should, you know, keep Romo on the bench when he gets healthy and not instead.
Dak's killing it, man. What do you want?
I'm taking nothing away from the kid. He's playing good football, but okay. The NFC, you got the
all right, so the top
Giants.
Two and three, they didn't look great.
Stink bombs the last couple of weeks. You know, the Redskins are the Redskins. Okay, it's a nice division, but it's not like world beaters.
NFC North, Minnesota. And
Minnesota is the best team in football.
Right now they are, yes. And then you got Green Bay.
The Packers. So that's a strong division. Okay, that's two strong teams. The NFC South is atrocious.
Well, the Falcons are playing pretty good football.
There's three other teams in that division, unfortunately.
I'm not a believer in the Falcons still. I know it's not fair to them, but after what they
did. But it is a better division than AFC South. Yes, it is. Right now it is. Which of the AFC South teams would have gone to Denver and won yesterday?
The Jaguars.
Oh, stop it. They would have had Von Miller like with career high 8 sacks.
No, they wouldn't.
Oh,
stop
it.
Pete.
Cut it
My
out.
Man Parnell would lock him up. All right, and then you have the NFC West. Arizona is a train wreck. San Francisco is terrible.
San Francisco's terrible. Seattle's really good, and the Rams are bleh.
Yeah. Okay.
And but each of those divisions has a team that you could sit there and say is a Super Bowl challenger, correct?
No, I do not think the NFC South has a Super Bowl challenger in that. If you're trying to sell me right now that the Falcons are a Super Bowl challenger, I will take that bet and whatever you want to bet, and I'll give you odds.
What if they go to Seattle and win? What if they go to Seattle?
I don't care if they go to the moon and win. They're not a Super Bowl. No.
If they win at Seattle this week to win back-to-back road games at Denver and at Seattle, you don't think they're a contender?
No, I do not think they're a Super Bowl contender.
Wow.
Okay, but they're better than. But right now, they're better than anybody in the AFC South.
Okay,
correct?
That's fine. But
what else do they have to do to be a contender? Then
they have to do it for 16 games. This was a team
is
that
Carolina
was 5-0.
Contender?
No, is Carolina's no. done. Rookie corners, okay. Two tackles who can't block anybody right now.
Quarterback's hurt.
Okay. All right, so you go to the AFC
West. You have the Broncos.
And
who came back to life.
And the Raiders. And the Raiders.
I'm not a believer in the Raiders yet either. They've gotten they're playing with
But every one of those teams is better right now than anybody in the AFC South.
I would not say the Raiders are. I would say Denver is for sure. And who did Kansas City plays tonight, correct?
Well, San Diego's clearly better than Jacksonville in the South because they destroyed
them. That's fair enough. But Kansas City plays – is Kansas City a bye week?
Yeah. Bucks,
they had a bye this week.
Bucks-Panthers tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
You must have missed that Pittsburgh game.
Pete. Well, I know, but AFC North, Pittsburgh.
Okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bengals aren't playing very well. They're still better than everybody in the South.
I'll take the Bengals still better right than everybody. Now. No way.
Which team in the South is better than Bengals, though?
All of them. Let's go to break
God.
Right now. Go to break.
Oh, my God. Tony, you just went through everything that you tried to say, and we proved the point. And then you got New England in the other one. There's no contender in the South, which is why Jacksonville, as bad as they've been the first month of the season, can still win it. It stinks.
We'll come back in a moment and break down how the Jags might start winning it on the offensive line.
And I want to hear what do the Jags have to do to become contenders?
Could have been a contender.
Could have been
somebody. All y'all Jacksonville runners, don't miss the Stash Dash at Everbank Field Saturday. Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Raiders-Jags game. Sign up today at Jaguars.com/Stash Dash. A little offensive line talk and more coming up. Your calls in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Appreciate just the whole city, the first responders, you know, a lot of things going on for our team, a lot of things going on for everybody in our whole state and up and down the East Coast. So just appreciate all everybody's efforts to try to make it as smooth as possible. We feel very fortunate to be here still and to be able to practice at our facilities.
There's head coach Gus Bradley earlier today. He spoke with the media. Jags locker room was open also today after a short helmets-only practice. Closed to the media today. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco. And we're talking a little offensive line.
Hey, J.P., I got to show you this picture.
What do you got now? What do you got?
Here's my picture of me first in line waiting Saturday.
I'm looking at Tony's phone.
Can we get this on?
You're leaning on the side of a St. Johns County Sheriff's car.
I'm going to put up so Hollywood can –
yeah, let's
Hollywood, zoom in on this if you can.
Chatting with
– I want to see it too.
A sheriff's deputy.
Let me see if we can make this work a little bit.
It's on some website, and he's taking the photo, and we'll see which camera we can get on that. If you're on Jaguars.com.
Come on, get in there tight, Hollywood.
Yeah, he's not lying, Pete. He was the first in line to meet the sheriff's office or sheriff's deputies. To go across the bridge. He's eager. He was eager to get home.
Oh, I wanted to get home bad.
Tony, how was it? You guys okay? Everybody okay?
Yeah, no problems at all, Pete.
How about you, Pete?
Everything was fine. The power went out for 24 hours, and that was a pain.
Yeah.
Did you leave? But did you go anywhere?
I left Saturday to come to Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, that's right.
But on, you know, Thursday and Friday we were here. But, you know, not having power makes you appreciate the little things, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
I mean, you know, hot shower, you know, candles at night. I mean, just it's you got no internet. You have no TV. You know, it's just like
I went stir crazy. You know what the worst part was? For what I was up by my mom, so the power went off Friday, let's say 1 o'clock, and up to then it wasn't bad. I was on, you know, working, hanging out. All of a sudden, the power goes out, and then I went stir crazy. So I told my family, which was not a lie. I had to charge my phone. So I went and sat in my car by myself for 2 hours. But then that stopped working because all of a sudden, for whatever reason, for like a few hours, my cell service went out. I don't know if a tower by me got hit or something. So I had nothing at all. And that's why I got up at 5 a.m. the next morning and went and waited with my officer. That's my officer from St. Johns County, Bobby. And I sat there and drank coffee and waited for it to open up. I mean, when I got home, Pete.
You had to wait till noon, right?
11:45.
I was, so you sat there for
five and a half hours.
That's unbelievable.
Five and a half hours.
What's wrong with you?
It was great. I was by myself, me and Officer Bobby, hanging out, talking. You know,
those kids must have drove you crazy.
Watching people make lies up to try to get across the bridge to him telling them to get out of there. It was outstanding. And then I got across, Pete, I had power and everything at my house.
I heard people were getting nasty with those guys, too.
Yeah, I was for the most part, people were good. But a couple people got nasty. I'm like, come on, guys. I mean, what's he going to do? I mean, he was actually so professional. If I said this earlier, Pete, before you got on. If I was a police officer, I'd have arrested him. I'd have tased him. I would have done something. I mean, these people, I'm like, give me a break. We're not going anywhere. We're sitting here.
Right.
I haven't been here 5.5 hours because I'm bored.
Situations like that. You can replace anything that you have at your house.
That's right.
As long as your life is okay and your family's okay, it's all that matters.
That's right.
Everything else is replaceable.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so it's good. I hats off to all the first responders, to JSO and the St. Johns County Sheriff's Department, to the guys at JEA and all the different electric companies. I mean, can't say enough. When I got there, before the guy in that picture, Bobby, and he came on about 30 minutes after I got there. But the guy who was there before had been on the clock for almost 24 hours.
Wow. How about that?
Or maybe he was up for that long because it was crazy. So, they did a great job. I'm telling you what. I cannot say enough good things.
And thanks to to all the first responders and everybody else, but thanks to the JEA, man. You got that power on quickly. I appreciate that.
You know what?
I was going nuts, too.
I have a different perspective because I was not going to leave, but the only reason I left because my wife told me I had to. I was going to ride it out at the beach, which has not been smart.
That's a dumb idea.
It would have. And I'll say this, though. Next time, I won't ride it out, not because, not that I don't want to, But I won't do it because of what the strain that it puts on the police officers. Because part of the reason they asked everyone to leave is because they can't be there and they're trying to patrol and they're trying to manage it. And if you stay, you're then risking some of these first responders' lives as well. Because if it does go sideways and them trying to figure out how to rescue your rear end. So I had a little bit of a different perspective after sitting around talking to people and kind of scoping it out that when you do stay, you know, you're stressing out a lot of other people. So it was an interesting, just happy that it did not, that Matthew decided to stay about 45 miles offshore, because if it would have been 45 miles to the west, we'd have been a load of trouble. I'm not sure we'd be broadcasting right now.
We would be right now.
Because it would have really tore things up.
Yeah, it was bad.
How'd you get out? What time did you get out Saturday, Pete? The airport was open,
about,
I guess?
5 o'clock, and you know what? About 4:30, and there wasn't – it was about 50 people at the airport. I thought it would be a madhouse from flights getting canceled the day before. There was nobody there. It was great.
Wow.
And, you know, flight was a little bumpy gutting up because of the wind was still kind of whipping around. But other than that, it was fine.
That's not bad at all. Hey, we're up against another break. We're going to come back and talk offensive line.
Yeah, what I thought it was important to talk about.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, after what Gus said and everything else.
What a weird weekend here in Jacksonville.
It was crazy. Great people. I'll tell you what, police officers don't get, first responders don't get enough credit. They're great people.
We'll get back to football when we come back. Offensive line, we'll talk a little defense coming up as well. Your calls in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I think it'll be okay. I think, you know, everything will work out, especially when you have good chemistry and you have good relationships. When somebody steps in, you have an ability to just speed things up, and I think we have that ability to do things now because we've been around each other for some time now. You know, when you're able to run the ball and protect the quarterback, you can put anybody back there, you can plug and play.
There's Kelvin Beachum, Jaguars left tackle, in the locker room earlier today. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco in the plug-and-play portion of this program. Is it left guard, Luke Jokel, ACL, MCL, meniscus? He's done, under the knife already. So who plays left guard is the question moving forward. Omame played pretty well last week and has played a lot in the league. You got some options there. Shatley could go over there, right?
I don't think there's any options.
Yeah,
Tony.
It's Omame.
It should be Omame.
Yeah, number one, the way he played.
Yeah.
And I thought him and Kelvin played very well together, not just him individually. So I think it's Omame, and I think it's an easy decision.
I went back and got a chance to watch that tape last week, and I agree with you 100%, Tony. He was physical. He's a physical player. Now, I don't know if he's a great pass protector, and he hasn't been in his career, so that could be a little concerning, but he was physical in the run game, I thought.
Yeah, but Chris Reed's not a great pass rusher, pass
no,
blocker
I
either.
Play. He's better than Chris Reed.
Yeah, I think he is as well. And I think
Chris
better
Reed was terrible the day he played. He was
and I think he's, well, he was playing against a little bit better competition. Brandon.
It doesn't matter. He was terrible.
Brandon Mebane
Well, there's good competition on every team, right? I mean, it's the NFL.
Yeah, Timmy Jernigan. The Ravens inside are really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it is
Brandon Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Omame. I don't think it's Shatley, and I don't think it's Chris Reed. I think it's a pretty easy decision, and I think they'll be fine. I really do. I don't think they'll miss a beat. I think what they started doing against the Colts is more downhill, north and south running, more double teams and power type of football. I think Omame can do that well. I think they'll stick to that. And I think they're going to have a big day against Chicago. I think it's a breakout. I haven't watched any tape of Chicago yet, so I don't really know why I'm saying this.
What are you basing this on?
I might just feelings, gut, which is, you know, maybe I had something bad for lunch. Maybe that's why.
Is this Tony talk again? What is this? What did you call Pete earlier?
Coach talk? This is not coach talk. Coaches would never talk like this.
No, they wouldn't.
I got a feeling it's a breakout game offensively for this team. Chicago's okay. They're not great on defense, and they have Brandon Hoyer playing quarterback. And
Brian.
What did I say?
Brandon.
No, I mean, I was thinking Brandon Williams. Brian Hoyer.
There might be a Brandon Hoyer out there.
Yeah, but not quarterback
for
the Bears.
For the Bears.
No. I'll dig into the tape, but my initial kind of watching the TV copy and watching them play against the Colts and a little bit of Dallas. And You know, but
it's a winnable game. It's a winnable game.
I don't think it's just winnable, Pete. I think they are supposed to win. I think they're better.
Well, they're underdogs.
Are they really?
Yeah.
It's like 2 points or something, isn't it?
2 point underdog. Yeah.
So like, that means on a neutral field, they'd be a favorite because you get three for
You asked about the defense. In, you know, Chicago's ranked points given up.
30th.
Chicago is – no, they're 21st.
I thought no. Total defense, they're like yards are 8th, and I thought scoring, they're 30th.
No, I'm looking at it right now. Through October 9th, Chicago is 13th in total defense yards. They're 24th against the rushing yards per game. And points allowed, they're giving up. They're 21st in the league.
Okay,
so
a little better than that.
So it's not a good defense.
Where are the Jags ranked? Just out of curiosity, I haven't looked at any rankings.
Defense.
Yeah.
What do you think they're ranked in the defensive in yards?
Yards top 10.
Yeah, they're seventh.
Seventh, right?
Yeah. But points, they're down there because of the San Diego game.
They're 24th.
Yeah, because the San Diego game hurt them.
But I mean, they're seventh in yards. They're sixth in yards per play. They're seventh in.
I bet you their red zone defense isn't very good.
Their red zone defense. I'll tell you exactly what it is in a second when I find it. But yeah, and you know, they're also, you know, when you look at the key stat, the takeaways, they're not good in the takeaway department either. They're -2.
That's not good, Pete.
Defense, red zone defense is. Defense inside the 20, they are 21st.
Yeah, that's not very good either. Mm. That's where you got to prove. I think the most important statistics defensively are, one, scoring defense, two, turnover or takeaways, three, red zone efficiency of keeping people out of the end zone, forcing field goals, and four, third down conversions. Those four matter more than total yards in my book.
Yeah, takeaways,
red zone,
right, inside the
third,
zone,
and total scoring.
Third down, yeah.
Those are the four. I agree with you. That's all that matters. Be good in those four, and you're going to win a lot of football games.
Somebody, you know, there's a theory out there on yards per pass play, too.
Yeah, that's too much.
That's
for
become
me.
Has become a much more relevant stat than it used to be.
Yeah, I guess you. And maybe if you're good at those other four, you're good at that one. But if you're good at scoring defense, red zone defense, third down defense, and taking the ball away, you're going to be pretty dang good at everything else. I mean, that's how you win. I mean, this isn't breaking news or anything.
They're 20th in third down defense.
Not letting them score.
Tony, yeah, 20th in third down defense.
Yeah, they've had trouble getting off third down at times.
Yeah, 20.
Early in the year, it was on penalties. They'd get a stop and then it would be a penalty.
26 of 57. They're 45.6% getting them off.
You need to be down about mid to low 30s.
You know what, though? The offense stinks on third down, too.
I know.
The offense is the worst in the league on third down. Did you know that?
Yeah. In the 20s, high 20s.
28-3. Yeah. Worst in the league.
Mm.
28-3 would be high 20s. I mean,
that's not good.
So I said, I gave you the exact number. You said high 20s. I said 28.3.
My guess is they're not good in red zone defense, offense either. That'd be my gut.
They are in the red zone on offense. They are – actually, they're not – they're 10th.
Okay. Oh. Not very many opportunities, I guess. If you look at opportunities, my guess is they're on the lower end
11.
Of opportunities.
They've had 11.
And they've converted.
And they've scored 7 TDs, yeah, Tony. 7 out of the
I know,
11.
But how many – compared to the rest of the league, the 11 is not a lot of opportunities.
No, there's 20 – Atlanta's at 23. San Diego's at 23.
Yeah. Just to put it in perspective, so 11 in four games – you're getting down in the red zone just over two and a half times.
That might be part of the reason this team is 1-3.
Or 2, you know, 2.75.
I'm going to throw it out there and see.
So just under 3.
Tampa Bay, who plays tonight, has only been in 10 times. The Rams have only been in 9 times.
Yeah,
think about that.
Those are teams that don't score a lot of points.
Cleveland, 12.
Okay, those are
in
see,
5 games.
Let me give a little bit of something to everyone to think about. Groupings you do not want to be a part of. Browns, Rams, Buccaneers.
Especially on offense.
Groups you want to be a part of. Steelers, Patriots, Falcons. I mean, you want me? That's what you want me talking about.
Patriots have had 15, Tony.
Yeah, but the two games with Jacoby Brissett, you got to take out. I mean, it's not fair.
Okay, who else has had a lot? You said Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's had 14 only.
Well, because like they score from the distance. 50 every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, well, long way out.
Right. So that's where that number can be misleading on offense.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm saying,
but it's better to have it than not to have it.
My whole point of saying these things is things you want to be grouped with. You remember, like the SATs, like which one of these don't belong, or which one are these grouped with, and you had to make that choice on the SAT, which you failed, Pete. Is why you went to Arizona State. But
Harvard of the West. What are you talking about?
No, it's not. It's the ITT of the West.
If you hadn't got a scholarship, you would have been in a JUCO. If they hadn't filled in your grade report.
And I don't want to talk bad about ITT because it's more prestigious than Arizona State. So I hate to bring ITT down with Arizona State.
When you were in high school, they gave you grades so you could get a scholarship to go to college.
Not anymore.
Sorry, ITT. Nothing personal. Nothing personal at all. That was a bad joke of all the people I offended right there. My point, you know, you want to – when you're talking about offense, you want to be lumped in with the good teams. I mean – overall, and this is where I was pushing back, even though Pete is right about the division, I get tired of hearing the AFC South stinks, the Jaguars stink. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when they start talking about, you know, the teams we're looking at this year are the Patriots, the Steelers, the Jaguars. I mean, you want to be in those groupings, not the groupings of, well, you got the Bills and the Jags and the Bucks. I mean, it's time to change it. The only way you change it is you win. Got to win.
Win football games. We'll come back and go through the injury report for the Jags. And coming up, your calls as well. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Tony Vaselli is anxious and waiting and ready to talk to the masses like he was at the bridge the other day.
Yeah, listen, I am a people of the person of the people, people of the people.
Whatever.
Man of the people. That's
all
what
of
I was
the
looking
above.
For.
Yeah. You want to be in that group.
I was struggling with that. The ITT comment got me flustered. I feel bad now. I feel guilty. I'm going to get yelled at by my wife.
The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Multiple. He can play different positions, but you know, he did some really good things. Kind of what we anticipated in the game. There's a couple plays, you know, he's got to, you know, understand that, you know, teams, if they see that on tape, they'll keep attacking him. So we need to see those corrections made. But we'll continue to evaluate that, see how that goes this week. But I would look for him to play more auto.
Gus Bradley discussing Miles Jack in the Jaguars defense moving forward. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
You know what he's talking about there is a couple, and we broke it down last week, is on the backside he gets a little anxious and starts peeking inside and gets too deep, and two of the big Frank Gore runs out the backside are his responsibility. And he'll learn from that.
And that's him not playing.
That's he'll learn from it. He'll clean it up. He's a good football player.
He's going to be good.
He's going to be really good. This defense, I'm telling you right now, these young players don't get hurt. Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Dante Fowler, and Ngakoue, those four right there, they're all basically rookies. I'm just saying those four, they're basically rookies this year. They all have chances to be like stars. Jalen Ramsey has a chance to be the best corner in football.
I agree.
That's how good he is.
But I think Day, we haven't seen the best of Sheldon Day.
I don't think so either. This could be the defense – a dominant defense, if they all stay healthy and you continue to draft the pieces over the next year or so, that could be a dominant defense for, you know, 4 to 6 years.
Tony, they made the move that we expected with Colvin coming back and
Dwayne Grotz, we knew it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how many draft? So that's one draft pick basically now that's contributing from that first draft class.
Yeah,
Cyprian, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got Shoelace, who's on special teams.
Right.
That's
but
it.
Starting, Cyprian's the only one.
Now, in fairness, one of them's an injury to Luke Jokel. He would be your starting left guard.
Right.
But not a great
– But you also don't draft a guard third over or second overall either. But it was a bad draft, though.
Well, we just thought we did this last week, so we're not going to do it. But basically, round. What we said is the third round.
We did it with
Grotz.
The third round.
No, I'm saying no. I'm not disagreeing with you. Remember, we came to the conclusion the third round should have been the first round because you have a bunch of Pro Bowl players, and the first round should have been the third round.
Correct. But there were other players in that draft, like Lane Johnson was better. Now he's going to get suspended probably. But
yeah,
he's better than
10 Lane. Games, and he's one away from being suspended forever. Obviously, he needs to pick his supplements better.
<Let's>,
right? Am I wrong? I mean, that's what it is.
All right.
You make me laugh when you say that.
What? That's what he needs to do.
Why is that
like
so
the
funny?
Because creatine.
Oh, man.
Creatine.
That was legal, remember though. They pushed that stuff like it was heroin.
Coughlin used to sprinkle creatine on the French fries in the cafeteria.
That was like a...
Come on.
Oh,
really?
This place was so full of creatine, it was like unreal.
It was unbelievable. It was like, and what would it do, Tony? It would make you gain nothing but water weight gain, right?
Well, I guess it helped with your muscle a little bit because people still take it. I didn't take it. I mean, I tried it a few times, but I didn't see any real... I mean, maybe now if they... I think in the off season I took it sometimes, but I'm not a good supplement guy because I always forget to take it. I mean, I don't take vitamins, I don't take medicine, I don't take anything.
You're just all natural man.
No, I'm not very good. Now that's why this diet plan I did was a miracle because I did supplements for 45 days or whatever it was. But I'm not good at it.
DSPSSSO.
I'm not good at it though.
I laugh every time I hear that commercial now. By the way, Pete.
Like I hope I need to stay healthy because I don't want to ever have to like get diabetes or something where you have to like take medicine every day or heart disease or like high blood pressure because I'll forget and I'll die.
I don't think anybody wants those.
No, I understand that, but I don't. I'm saying it wouldn't be good, especially for me, because I'll forget to take them, and then I'll die.
I'm with you, Tony. I never took anything, and I have to take something now every day, and I hate it because
what if you leave and you forget it? I mean,
what if you evacuated from a hurricane? You left it at home.
I forget everything at home.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a disaster. I am a disaster when it comes to that. But
let's go through the injury reports.
How did the PFF grades go this week?
There were no grades because they didn't play.
Right, we got them right then.
Oh,
wow. Tashaun Gibson still nursing a knee injury. Rashad Green, Achilles injury. Ben Koyak with a meniscus tear. Mercedes Lewis, hip pointer, but is expected to go this week. Audric and Thomas were both on the field today. Audric with the triceps injury. And
Audric,
I
want to talk about Audric because that's an interesting one to me.
How so?
I thought Tyson played well. I thought they were productive. I thought he played really good football.
Going to get Wally pipped?
I'm not saying he is or not. And for all those young people who don't know who Wally Pipp is, Wally Pipp was the first baseman for the New York Yankees when Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, a little different scenario because Tyson's been around, but same idea.
Yeah, Pipp was a starter. He didn't want to play one day, didn't feel good. Lou Gehrig came in, and like 5,000 games later, he decided to stop playing baseball. Or something like that.
4,100 and change. Yeah, that's fine.
And
kind of like when I'm done at CBS and JP doesn't show up and I take over for him.
This is second week in a row, Pete. You're threatening my seat.
Very similar, Pete. Very, very similar.
Hey, JP, don't worry about it. I'm going to be here for a long time at CBS.
But
I'm kidding.
I'm just saying, Tyson played well. Tyson,
I agree.
Is a physical president, and he plays really, really hard.
Yes, he does. And I'm not so sure. I tend to agree with you, Tony. I might keep him in there.
I'm not saying anything, and I'm not saying Otterick won't get his job back. What I am saying is I don't think it's an easy decision based on – and not that Otterick was playing bad. I thought Otterick had a good camp.
He was just okay.
But I'm just
– For what – and I'm going to say this. For what they're paying Otterick, he should be better than he is.
I mean, I don't like judging a guy based on what he makes of how good he should be.
Then he should be better than he is based on him being a marquee free agent.
That's fine. Because the reason I don't like that, Pete, is
Tony's tap dancing.
No,
a little bit. Around it.
A little bit, you can tell.
No, I'm not. Let me tell you why I don't like talking about that. Because some people will look at the stat book and say Malik Jackson isn't playing well and he's not living up to his $90 million.
Well, I'm not some people. I'm talking about the tape, Tony.
I understand that, but I'm saying why I typically stay away from it, Pete, is because if you watch the tape, Malik Jackson is playing high-level football right now and
Correct.
Is playing dominant three technique, which is defensive Correct. Tackle football. That's the danger but, sometimes. You just start looking at
Odrick
numbers.
Isn't. It's just like for all those years,
I do not,
Tyson,
I, yes.
Tyson was a good, productive player.
But he had a first-round tag on him.
He was drafted too high.
Right.
Right, he was drafted too high.
Yep.
And so, therefore, everybody criticized him for who he was because he was drafted. I'm not criticizing Odrick for the money he's making. I'm just saying, and more power to him, God, but I, for what they are paying him, he needs to do more, I think.
And I would just look at it as if from a play standpoint, I'm not sure Tyson didn't play better against Indy than Odrick had been playing. Forget the money, forget anything else. I'm looking at it just strictly game for game. Now, it's one game that Tyson played. And it's not like the Colts are a great offensive line by any
All
means.
Right.
Well, we can go to the Pro
but
Football
the
Focus
tape.
Grades. Let's Ooh. Go to the Pro Football since you like that segment. And we don't have, and we don't have.
Yeah, but remember they came back and they said Tyson didn't play well last week, and I disagreed with it.
Mm.
I remember that distinctly. That's why I was so annoyed.
Pete, do a little research. We'll get to those when we come back. Your calls
yes.
as well. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL1. Meet me at the 50 is coming up Thursday night. Susie Colbert and John Gruden from ESPN are your hosts. Tickets available, jaguars.com/50.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. Why? I wasn't invited to host. I'm going to talk to Michaela about that.
That's great, Tony.
I'm just disappointed. About, you know.
They wanted somebody who knew something about football.
Wow. that's pretty strong.
Well played, Pete. Well played.
Jaguars All Access, if you're watching on jaguars.com and the Jags app, that's coming up at the top of the hour. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.